The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Jan Arge Fjortoft will be here to reflect on another disappointing result for Borussia Dortmund. But for now, we're joined by Craig Burley here in the studio. And how apt it is that the former Chelsea man, Frank LaBeouf, is dressed all in black for today's show. West Ham, man, there's Appy in white shaggy hislop as we reflect on what happened in the Premier League today. And another horrible performance from Chelsea, losing to Leicester by 2-0. For Leicester City, they are top of the table with that victory over Frank Lampard's side. 1 point clear of Manchester United. Meanwhile, Chelsea all the way down in eighth, having played 19 matches. Craig, obviously, we want to sit here and give Leicester credit, which we do, but the big story is Chelsea and the future of Frank Lampard. As we go to air, he's still in a job, but you get a feeling not for much longer.
No, and I was saying to you, there was reports coming out of London last night that he was going to be toast anyway.
Yeah.
And that this result, you know, could just be the icing on the cake for Abramovich to make a decision. And I think the result, the performance, we've just seen the league table there. I was looking at it. Everton are above them, West Ham are above them. Everton are above them with 2 games in hand. Villa are 3 points behind them with 4 games in hand. Southampton can go above them. So when you put all that together, and you've got one of the most ruthless owners of modern day football, and he is, sacked Mourinho twice, sacked Ancelotti, sacked Roberto Di Matteo, who won the Champions League as an interim manager, former player, doesn't care. Spent a whole bunch of money. There's no sign. I said it after the Fulham game, Dan. The part of the problem is they were lucky against Fulham in the end, who went down to 10 men, but there was no sign.
No
sign that there was going to be a change in performance, never mind a change in result. And for all those reasons, and I want to see managers given to the end of the season, and then we sit back and say, how did Solskjaer do? How did Klopp do? How did Ancelotti do? How did Lampard do? How did Mourinho do end of the season? But the reality is, it's too big a business now.
Yeah.
It's just too big a business. We have an inexperienced manager who hasn't got a CV to fall back on. It's not like it's Klopp or Pitt or Guardiola and they say, well, yeah, he's going through a bad time. This guy's been there. He'll pull us out of it. There's no sign that's going to happen. And for all those reasons, I think Chelsea will and Abramovich will make a decision, and I couldn't argue against that being the right decision, which is to replace him.
Do you agree, Frank?
I do agree, and I have to agree, because he's the guy who prepared the team sheet, who aligns his team up. And so, of course, he's going to be responsible, and I think he's going to be out very, very soon if they give him maybe a chance to shoot differently. But, you know, I want to talk about the players. I mean, do you have a short corner in the first half after 6 minutes? You all know that when they play the short corner at two, you have to be two to defend. Mm. And then you see Hudson-Odoi, because I want to name the players now, not knowing what he has to do on the football field as a professional, you can wonder what the guy does on the field. That's what it is. And that's really what it is. I want to see, because we have to name names, Havertz, you know, was the starting today. I just want one thing, just one movement who tells me, okay, he may be worth 80 million. I see nothing. On the second goal, I want to wonder what Reece James is doing on the field. I guess sleeping in that matter. You know, I didn't see a team. I saw from Leicester the willing of fighting, the willing of going forward, of thinking, having ideas. I didn't see any of those from Chelsea. Nothing. You can have a bad day, but at least show a little bit of, you know, commitment. That's the only thing you have to show. and we didn't see it. Oh, yes, Frank Lampard is responsible for, you know, lining his team up. Yes. But is he responsible for everything? I doubt about it.
And this is the key thing, isn't it, Shaka, in the case that today wasn't an anomaly. We've kind of seen this coming because it's not a case of, or maybe a bad refereeing decision or a couple of shots not quite going in. This has become a trend from Chelsea, that they are just not good enough and they just like look like a group of individuals at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to counter what Frank said. And I think the issues go a lot further than just the players. Listen, after the Fulham result, which Craig just spoke about, you wanted to see what Chelsea would do away to a very good Leicester team. And then you see the starting lineup. Okay, N'Golo Kante ruled out, but Ziyech on the bench, Jorginho on the bench. But more to the point, he goes with that front three of Hudson-Odoi, Pulisic, and Tammy Abraham. And I'm wondering what's the thinking. And I looking at the lineup before the game, I'm keen to see what is Frank Lampard's thinking. What are Chelsea going to do? And in 90 minutes of football, I still have absolutely no idea what Chelsea were trying to do to hurt Leicester City. And listen, Leicester are an incredible team. But I do not know what Chelsea's plan was. And that is on Frank Lampard. And listen, we sang Frank's praises for just about all of last season. The old cliche in this game is you set your own standard. He did that. But then when you spend $200 million, regardless of where that standard is, and Chelsea look as poor as they are, as they have been over recent weeks, yeah, he's in real trouble.
You saw that graphic from the results. It's been an amazing turnaround from so much expectation and performance.
Yep.
And it started to Everton unraveled with a really poor performance, a lot of possession, where Edward Mendy probably made his first big mistake of the season, and that cost him 3 points, followed by a loss to Wolves, an embarrassing performance against Arsenal away, and it was an embarrassment. Slightly lucky to get a draw against Villa, and then completely, and I mean completely, taken apart by Manchester City and got a rub of the green in the game against Fulham because they lost a player. But you look at it where it started to unravel. Last year, and he did do a good job last year, but that's last year. Fish and chip paper, gone. Defensive was a problem last year, defence. It looked like he'd sorted it out this year. Started the season great, keeping clean sheets. New goalkeeper in, Silva marshalling it. Then all of a sudden, that changed. Now he's starting to change the personnel. I mean, he's throwing it up and it's coming down and we don't know who's going to be playing. We don't know who's going to be playing right back. We don't know who's going to be playing centre back. We certainly don't know who's going to be playing in the middle of the field. And we have no idea what the front line is going to be. And that has been a major problem. It is the polar opposite of the coach and the team in the other dugout, because there is a clear plan there in recruitment. Soyuncu was a terrific signing. Guess what? Then they bring in Fofana, who's just turned 20 in December, from St Etienne. They bring James Justin in 18 months or so ago from Luton, arguably now one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League, right back, left back. They bring Castagna in from Atalanta. They have Ndidi and Tielemans that will play every week in Shield. They have Barnes and they have Albrighton who work the channels. They have Maddison who plays in that hole very cleverly again. And they have Jamie Vardy who would walk into any Premier League team at the moment. And I include Man City, mm-hmm. Man United and Liverpool. They have a clear plan. Rodgers knows his best team. He's a very, very, very good coach. That is the difference at the moment. And when Chelsea look at it, they'll say, we gave Frank Lampard a chance. It was good for a period. We wanted it to work, but it's not. Some will say that the argument is, but the 5 points off fourth.
Right.
Liverpool, which they are.
Yeah.
But when you look at it in hard and fast facts, there is no sign that this is going to turn around. And when all these other teams play and catch up with the games, they could be sitting in the bottom half of the table. It's unacceptable for Chelsea Football Club, and Roman Abramovich does not suffer those types of results. Lampard knew that when he took the job, and the bottom line here is now Chelsea are going to have to make a change, and I think it could be done by the end of play this evening. If not, it's probably going to be that old drive to the training ground tomorrow, waiting on the phone call. I think he knows it's coming.
Frank, if you're Roman Abramovich, who would you hire?
Oh, my God. Frank is still on the seat and you want me to think about that. I don't know. It's too
So if we're talking, Frank, Thomas Tuchel, aren't we? We're talking Thomas Tuchel, we're talking Allegri, and we're talking about the man that Craig was talking about, Brendan Rodgers. In theory, if you were Chelsea, who would you go for? Let's just narrow it down to those three, Frank.
Well, Brendan Rodgers know English football very well, and so I think he will be the perfect guy. Allegri knows Italian football, Tuchel knows German and French football, but they knew in English football, and there is a very specific philosophy that you have to have and a mentality that you have to have to coach a team in England, because we can see talent is not enough. You need something special. You need a team. You need a stamina to keep on fighting every game you play. And you need a character which is missing very much around Chelsea players right now. So Brendan Rodgers is fantastic. I mean, I love that guy since he took Swansea in charge. Mm. And yeah, we love to see him. But and again, he's premature. There is somebody that you have to respect. Frank Lampard is still the Chelsea coach, and I don't want to premature anything before tomorrow morning, I guess.
Well, I think he'll be gone, though, won't he?
I think so. Shaka, Frank showing complete disregard for the fact that Frank Lampard's still in a job, saying that Brendan Rodgers should be given it. Do you agree?
Listen, Allegri and Tuchel out of jobs right now, so those are the easier fit. But other than that, all things being equal, if you can somehow convince Brendan Rodgers to leave Leicester, or Leicester to part with Brendan Rodgers, I go Brendan Rodgers for all the reasons that Frank just said. But again, the big asterisk around that is Brendan Rodgers is still employed, the other two aren't.
Do you take it if you're Rodgers, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I, just briefly, Allegri is known for pragmatism. And Mourinho, and there's nothing wrong with that, but Abramovich has always tried to get away from that. He kind of had enough of that under Mourinho. He wanted a bit more silky performances for the buck that he's spending. I'm not a Thomas Tuchel fan. He's done a decent job at Dortmund and PSG, but I'm not on the Thomas Tuchel train. Really right. Not. I look at Brendan Rodgers as at least the third best coach in the Premier League. No particular order. Klopp and Guardiola have got the record. And then I look at him and think, is there anybody better? No, not even close. And I love what he's done at Leicester, what he did at Celtic, even what he did at Liverpool when they tripped up so late on. That was a fantastic Liverpool side that should have won the league. The guy knows what he's doing, right? There's not a shredded doubt about that. And I know I know Leicester fans, it's a great club. It is, and they're at top, as we speak, they're the top of the league, and they've won the league in 2016. Hey, it might happen again, I don't think so. However, let me be clear. They are a stepping stone for Brendan Rodgers to dip his toe once again with one of the elite clubs in British football. That's what they are for him. And by God, he's doing a good job of putting himself out there. Now, he has signed a long-term contract a year or so ago when Arsenal were sniffing about him. But contracts can be ripped up. And at the end of the day, he's worked at Chelsea before with the younger kids. And I think he's built his CV back up to a place where if I'm looking at Brendan Rodgers with this Chelsea squad and Frank Lampard with this Chelsea squad, would Rodgers have more of an understanding of what he wants because of his experience?
Yeah.
Yes, he would.
Quickly, Frank.
Well, I think Rodgers won't come to Chelsea. I think it would be a complete betrayal towards the club and the fans. So I don't see him going to Chelsea.
From why? Why?
Well, because yeah, I mean, you just say he signed just a long contract. I think he wants to achieve something. They are building something special. He's first, he's top of the league. What's the point to go to Chelsea? For Brendan Rodgers, the club won't accept it. I don't see him coming. I mean, that would be very, very Well, strange for me to see him reaping his contract.
But he did leave Celtic when they were having success. And I know he wanted to get back to England to get back on the what they consider the elite level of European football, the Premier League. But he jumped out a hugely successful Celtic team. They were winning trophies for fun. It was coming out of his heart. He could do nothing wrong. They could do nothing wrong at Celtic. He was the messiah up there. But he wanted back to England,
Craig,
to build his stock, to have another bash at the biggest jobs in England.
This is not the last time I'm sure we will have this discussion. Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The big game in the Bundesliga today certainly lived up to expectations. Great match between Bayer Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund. In the end, Bayer Leverkusen with the victory. Florian Wirtz very much the hero, the 17-year-old scoring the late winner, which gave Bayer Leverkusen all 3 points. Just taking a look at how that affects the table. They move up to second, 4 points adrift of Bayern Munich. Borussia Dortmund obviously then remaining fourth. Let's welcome in Jana Agafjordtoft to the show. Jan, I love this game. Just exactly what you want as a neutral, entertaining end-to-end stuff.
Yeah, it was great. A very open game. I mean, Leverkusen have had some trouble later. The four last game wouldn't have won, but it was a very open game. With Diaby, Bailey, Wirtz, the three up front with Leverkusen, maybe not so famous as the famous Dortmund players, but they were excellent today. Dortmund, again, at the back, it's so soft. There's something with them, that defense. Florian Wirtz, you said it, he scored a winner. Hummels was actually marking Wirtz, and then he was running all over the pitch to get off position to let the 17-year-old make the winner. It's just like unbelievable that an experienced player like Hummels can do a tactical mistake like that.
From one striker who, of course, knows about finishing, Jan, how good was that finish for the winner?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it's the third goal he scored since he was 17. Great story, being a big talent of the local rival Cologne. They had a deal saying that you shouldn't take the talents away from each other. They still took Florian Wirtz over there, just waited for Burki just to move, and then bang. Good, yeah. Concentrating on his technique, get a ball on target, and he makes the winner after Brandt, who scored, the former Leverkusen player, a player for Dortmund, hasn't scored for 30 games. Of course, he did against Leverkusen, but I must say, deservedly win for Leverkusen. I think that the way Dortmund playing at the moment, Leipzig away, good. Good game, but they look like an indoor team. They look like a futsal team. They're just playing around. They're just dribbling like in the streets of New York when we see films when they're playing basketball. That's what they're doing for football now.
And obviously the feeling is with them as well, Jan, they've got to score 3 or 4 if they're going to win a match because of those vulnerabilities at the back. And when you miss the chances that they did, you will get punished.
Absolutely, and even the 1-0 goal, a fantastic first touch from Bailey. But from a perspective of Dortmund, you have to look. Bürki, the goalkeeper, take it wide, down by a defender, back to one Leverkusen player who just placed it in the deep. Great first touch, but still terrible defending. And I mean, how can you even have a hope to win the German Bundesliga with no defense?
That just takes us on to the next point. We talk a lot about Erling Haaland and his future. And you tweeted this week, Jan, that he's going to be staying. You can't see him leaving in the summer. The one caveat I would throw at you is the fact that this young man who's already come out, and clearly he's a winner and he wants to win things. As it stands, Borussia Dortmund are a long way off from adding sort of any silverware to their collection. That's got to play on his mind a little bit, hasn't it?
I think they will play on any talents at Dortmund because, I mean, you are in a club to develop. You are in a club to score goals, but you have to have a chance to win titles. I think it's going to be decisive who's going to be the next coach in the summer, who will be the next manager. But mind you, if you saw on Twitter, Erling Haaland said, great to have been this 1 year since I had my first game for Dortmund. It's just been there for 1 year. I can see another way in the summer. I can see they kind of throw Sancho the possibility to leave the club, but they will keep Haaland. And I think that is wise from him. He's just been there for 1 year. He's only 20. He needs one, hopefully, proper season with like 81,000 in average to play in Dortmund. But as you're saying, Dan, as for now, very frustrating. Also for Erling Haaland. And mind you, last game against Mainz, penalty. He wanted to take the ball. Marco Reus using his power, failing to score at that thing. So that frustrates a young kid of 20, I guess.
Who will the new coach be in the summer for Dortmund, Jan?
Yeah, there is a lot of, I mean, seeing the results from England now, there's a lot of coaches there or maybe places that are going to be available. I mean, the first favourite, Marco Rose from Gladbach, could be a great candidate. I heard someone speaking. I spoke to a guy in Germany. He said maybe we'll have the big kind of Red Bull movement, as Flick will take over Germany, Nagelsmann will go to Bayern, Rose will go to Dortmund. Imagine that.
Wow. That'd be some musical chairs. Speaking of Bayern, Jan, David Alaba, of course, we know that he's going to leave Bayern at the end of the summer. Marca with the big lead in the front page in today's newspaper saying that Real Madrid is a done deal.
Yeah, I learned the first week of January that it was very, very close to Real Madrid. David Alaba, a player that always wanted, it was his big dream to play in Spain. He's coming from free. Real Madrid will get one player, but they will have three positions. He can play left back, he can play center half, he can play as a number six, and even a number eight that he's doing from Austria. I think that would be a wonderful signing for Real Madrid. But still, not signed yet, but it's very, very close.
And we're seeing games, as we always seem to do, I feel, when Sergio Ramos's contract is near up. He's going to stay, isn't he? I can see Ramos and Alaba both playing on the same side. I can't imagine it's one or the other.
Well, they say that, someone said this is a signal that Ramos will leave Real Madrid, but it's also been said, and I talked to some people who say this is a way to kind of keep Ramos. Ramos got to see that we have to put something more into this team. They are lacking Thino to go all the way. So I expect Sergio Ramos to stay. I expect Ramos to stay for many, many years at Real Madrid, not only as a player, but also go in some kind of capacity after his career.
Who will Bayern replace him with?
I think at the moment they think they're okay. They have, as a lot of other clubs, have been looking at Upamecano at RB Leipzig, who has said that I want to go to England. But you never know when Bayern Munich start looking around in Germany. They tend to end up in Munich. But I think that the juror is still out there on Upamecano, because sometimes when he plays with the best players of this world, he tend to do a lot of mistakes. But I think Bayern will have the confidence that they still can stick to what they have. But mind you, Jerome Boateng will also leave. Pavard out of form lately. Hernandez hasn't had a big breakthrough. So I think Bayern Munich got to do something at centre-half position, as many clubs in England. So it's going to be a competition among the big clubs to get the best centre-halves.
Jan Agerfjordtoft, as always, great to have you on. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. Plenty of bonus material there as well.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to join us on the next edition of ESPN FC. Plenty of action in the Premier League for us to discuss, and I'm sure more fallout over the future of Frank Lampard. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley with me in the studio. Shaka Hislop and Frank LaBeouf with us. Frank has been banging on about the fact it's his birthday on Friday and wants everyone to make a big fuss about him. How old are you going to be, Frank?
Send me your gift.
Yeah, what do you want?
I'm going to be.
I'll send you Craig.
I want a cake from Stevie.
Yeah.
Please.
Yes.
And a gift from you guys, you three. Please.
Oh,
send
yeah.
Me your gift to friends.
Yeah, we'll all chip in. What's up with you?
Oh, my knee locked.
Your knee. Right. Everyone's getting old.
Oh, wow.
We discussed this on the show, actually, but loads of questions about who should replace Frank Lampard. This one says Brendan Rodgers, Hasenhüttl or Max Allegri. Hasenhüttl isn't someone that we discussed.
No, I was just saying to you before we started, I think he's done a great job. I like him, really. And he's. I read a piece, actually, what they've done at Southampton. They've taken the system that he wants to play, they've taken it all the way down from the, like...
Right.
I don't know if there is a reserve team now, but reserves, under-23s, under-18, whatever it is, they all play the same. It was very clever. I saw that when every player is... Was it Smallbone that came in at the weekend, a youngster? Whenever a youngster comes in, that's the position that they're playing in the youth team or the under-23s. So he's been very clever. I just don't think he... Well, I would prefer Brendan Rodgers, but I do like Hasenhüttl.
Yeah. And Shaka, you said Rodgers on the show. Have you changed your mind in the last 2 minutes?
No. Not in two minutes.
No.
It takes me at least 4 or 5 to change my mind.
You know what I think might happen?
What do you think might happen?
Because I read last week...
What about Avram Grant? Is he going to come in?
I read last week that and his name just popped up again in one of the national newspapers in England about how he might come in to help Frank Lampard with... Yeah, Lampard might not need the help now because he'll not be there. But whenever Avram Grant's name is mentioned, I'm thinking sacking is on the horizon.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he comes in and hovers around like a bad smell, and then generally the manager is out. But I wouldn't be surprised if he couldn't get a manager, if Lampard does go, and that's still an if, that something like that short term again might happen because he's done it before and he's been successful at it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't care, Abramovich. Just get me somebody that's going to get me in the top four,
right,
and then I'll get rid of them.
Yeah.
That's how ruthless he is. So when you take that job, you know what you're getting.
Recent rumours of Chelsea linked to Erling Haaland. Jan completely dismissed those links, by the way. Do you believe that it's really the most pressing thing for Chelsea to be focused on going forward? What would be your first step in getting them back to top four form? Frank?
I will hire somebody to fight in the middle of the park. I don't see any link between the defenders and the forwards. I don't see a physical impact in the middle of the park. And I think it's what's missing, really. So
So I'm ready to step over, you know, to Chelsea with Craig Burley as an assistant. What do you think, Craig?
Oh, my God, imagine that. Oh, we'd have so much fun when you lose. That would be great.
Frank would have to be the... Frank would have to play the good cop after I was shouting at everybody in the dressing room.
Yep.
It was interesting. I just seen an interesting tweet from a Midlands reporter, Jeff Peters. And I think this probably sums it up. He just said, and you could argue about this, not one Chelsea player would get in the Leicester team at the moment.
Well, off the back of their performance, obviously.
In general.
Yeah.
Maybe you might argue about the goalie. Evans and Fofana have been brilliant.
Yeah.
And Didi and Tielemans, Maddison... Vardy.
You did this in the show. You name all the Leicester players.
Made the show. But that's you know, if you're even putting that argument out there and you can't just bat it away as nonsense because it's not, that's telling you something.
Next question is a beauty.
Dan. We were talking about, you know, we all talk about Havertz, you know, the time that he needs to adapt to football. You know, Fofana, who just signed for Leicester, has been hammered by the Saint-Etienne fan when he left. Because, yeah, he just left for the money, blah, blah, blah. So he had a big pressure leaving Saint-Etienne to Leicester to prove that he was right to leave. How long did he need to adapt to English football? 2 minutes? The same than Xhaka needs to change his mind. That's it. 2 minutes. Bye-bye. Fofana on the top.
Yeah,
4 minutes, sorry.
He was 19 when he arrived.
Okay, here we go. Craig, were you ever offered a GQ interview while at Chelsea? Maybe distractions like these are hindering the Blues. Have you seen it today?
No.
Christian Pulisic did a GQ spread interview and some interesting photos, I think, to say the least.
Okay. I'm sure that will please his...
Let me just say. Okay.
Go on.
I would love to see Craig do a GQ interview.
Imagine it.
Hit some sexist changing poses.
Craig lying on the couch, looking sexy.
The only thing.
That'd be so good.
The only. Don't underestimate me, Shaka. The only thing I would say, if it's a recent interview.
Yes, it's very recent.
What's that quote? Read the room.
Read the room. He said, by the way, which I thought was interesting.
Read the room.
Which I haven't really heard.
He's not playing well. His club are under pressure. His manager's under pressure. It's about timing.
He said that he likes playing without fans.
Because there's less pressure?
Yes.
That doesn't bode well. I mean, he's not the only one. He's not playing well, and he's not the only one. But, yeah.
I haven't heard many players cite that. You know,
and that's why I would put the argument up with a lot of these teams, and I said it with Arsenal when they were struggling, really struggling, when we thought Arteta was on the brink before he put some wins together, was that there was less pressure on these Arsenal players because there was no fans like screaming at you and waiting for you outside. Well, there might be a handful waiting outside. And so what I think that's saying to me is that he's thinking about the pressure of what the supporters might do if they have a bad turn. That's not a good mentality to have, because part of the reason you play the game is to get the buzz from that atmosphere of a full stadium. And with that, you have to take the consequences of you personally having a bad time. It happens, and taking the abuse.
What was that? Have I misquoted him? What are they saying? Maybe I'm... He says he doesn't like the attention from the fans.
He doesn't like the attention?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, that whole argument's fallen on its face. You mean he doesn't like the attention from the fans away from the stadium? Right, well, that's complete nonsense. What I've been talking about then is... So he doesn't like the attention of the fans away from the stadium. That's normal.
Yeah. No, when he's in the stadium...
No, you tried to make out he didn't like playing in front of 40,000.
No, he doesn't like the attention of the fans when he's playing. And goodness me, maybe we should read the interview before I open my mouth.
Well, I never
just looked at the pictures.
I'm never ever going to read GQ or any other magazine. I just don't read them. I can't be bothered. So I'm relying on you to feed me...
I know.
...reliable information.
And it's all gone wrong. Frank, you must have been in you must have been in GQ back in the day. Oh, wait, we got the full quote, Craig. Here it comes.
Okay. All right,
it's
coming. No, we did. Well, I did once a hello or okay magazine brilliant. In England, you
right?
Know, at home, but GQ, no, never.
You did
never.
Hello.
You have to be.
What did they want you to do?
Yeah, I did Hello.
What were you doing at your
yeah,
house?
I did Hello.
Here we are. Chris, here
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, in my house.
It's not as enjoyable to play with no fans, but in a way, I like it because I don't really like attention and all that stuff.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
okay,
strange.
Go to play
so
curling.
I was, well, kind of...
Curling, you have no fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you say curling?
Yeah, curling, yeah. Curling, you sure you have no fans, you know? It's perfect.
No, it's the only time Scotland ever won a gold medal, isn't it, in curling?
Is it?
Yeah. The no. Winter Olympics.
No idea. I wouldn't switch that thing on. So in some ways I was right then,
yes.
And you were right. He's saying he prefers to play because he doesn't like the pressure of, basically, paraphrasing, he doesn't like the pressure of the situation so
right.
much. But anyway.
Can we go back to Frank in Hello magazine?
I wouldn't write a magazine. What do you read
no.
a magazine? I don't
no,
read
no,
magazines.
No, no, no. Forget,
so Frank,
forget
what was it like
that.
In
forget
Frank LeBeuf's house?
Yes, yes, in Frank LeBeuf house, you know, close to his, you know, in this kitchen, close to the swimming pool with the tie and everything. I mean, that was horrible. And in France, we don't like that. And they I don't know, a magazine bought it from Hello to France, and I've been hammered because of that for like 10 years. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Why did you agree to do that, Frank?
Money, money, money.
How much you get paid for that?
That's it. I don't remember. I don't remember. I can't tell you.
Shaq, are you featured in many... Shaq, are you featured in a lot of magazines,
everybody.
Yeah? When you were, what, the eighth sexiest man in the Caribbean one year?
what was your question, Dan?
You featured in a lot of magazines.
No, I don't do... No.
Would you
yeah,
do it for money?
Right.
If
you're
they gave
right.
you 10
you're
grand, better. Shaq, if Hello said, look, we want to come round and have a look at your house...
Nope.
No?
He opened the door.
Nope.
I've been told that you have been in a magazine,
nope.
Shaq.
Yeah. He was voted the best looking man on the Galapagos Islands. But do you know what? Do you know what the other thing
what
is?
What magazine was I a part of?
I don't know, look.
I've done a couple of interviews, but no.
There you are, so you've
like
done
GQ
it.
GQ and...
Yeah.
See, but that's kind of annoying because...
Well, that's... people interview you, you answer their questions, you send them a headshot, then you're in their magazine.
I go back to the timing issue, right?
All right.
Is players are free to do interviews pretty much, but I can imagine in that dressing room, senior players and probably Lampard himself, and everybody's under pressure, and what do you mean photos? What kind of photos like?
Quite
revealing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean? What,
like, I don't know. They're quite posy kind of pictures.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying it's timing. And the last thing you want to be doing.
Yeah,
when,
that's what it is.
When you're not playing well, when you've been in and out of the team, when you've had injuries, when your team are struggling, when your manager's struggling. Is you don't want to be swanning about doing these high-profile shoots, in my opinion.
But,
it's about timing.
But here's the thing, though. I mean,
yeah, no, but you know
but
that.
That interview could have been for all we know, that interview could have been done in October.
Yes.
And it's only just come out when
yeah.
you know
yes.
back in October when Chelsea were playing well,
but,
you know,
yeah, but
and
still.
It's only just come out. So
this is the picture that's been doing the rounds. Look.
Now, but just wait a little bit, you know, make sure that you are in the right space, you know, with your club, you know, you know, winning stuff. You know, I was with Chelsea, I think it was in 1999 when I won 4 trophies in 4 months. So maybe I did it that time, and I think I did it that time. You make sure that at least your club won't say, you know, Frank, you shouldn't have done it, you know, because we are very bad right now.
Yeah, but Shaq's right. Maybe he did it earlier. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, we spent way too much time. I only care really what they're doing on the field, and what him and his teammates are doing on the field at the moment is not good enough. So,
Shaka, West Ham for top 8.
Yeah. That's what I've got to say. That. Yes.
You didn't watch that game today, did you, Shaq? No way.
Yeah, did.
No.
No way. You watched West Ham, West Brom?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
I did.
No, he didn't. Lying.
Do you know the only time
yeah, I
got
I
off?
Did.
Do you know
liar.
Lies. Absolutely.
We can
lie.
See in your eyes. We
yeah,
can see
Shaq.
In your eyes. You don't.
You didn't. No, in your eyes, we can see you didn't watch
it. You want me to call my kids? I'll call my kids right now.
Yes.
I'll call my kids.
Call the kids. Get the kids in. Here we go.
You're gonna make your kids lying in front of TV?
Come on.
Yeah. That's not nice.
Come here. Dan wants to ask her a question. I'll take up my headphones so she can hear.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything. Look, I'm looking away.
Hey, that's good.
Ask your question.
Standard Shaka, not paying the heating bill.
Put these headphones in. That guy here.
Yes? Did your dad watch the whole of the West Ham game today?
Yeah.
No, that's not a positive. Wow. No, you're lying for him.
Do they think you did it?
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Hey, Shaq.
Didn't he ask you?
Shaq.
Yeah.
You're going to get...
Yeah?
Shaq, what's wrong with you? You're abusing your kids. I mean, you're not putting the heating on in your house.
No, Shaka, isn't it?
Oh, my
you
God.
You know I have the hottest house in Massachusetts.
Kids have got outdoor clothes on in the house. You're not putting the heating on.
I can't speak to that. You
know what my favourite part today of the West Ham West Brom game was?
Full time whistle.
Well, no, because I didn't watch all that game. But I was sat in the chair and I had it on, and I was losing the will to live, if I've been quite frank with you.
Yep.
And there was nobody else in the house, and I got a message come up on my TV.
Okay.
The Comcast.
Yep.
You know, they give an emergency service test.
Oh.
Came up with a bleep, and I went, amazing. Please stay here. Right. I tried to get a screenshot of it because I thought, that's better than the game. It was like the Comcast emergency for the Hartford area of Connecticut. And I thought, that's better than this Premier League game.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it disappeared. And football came back on.
There we go.
But David Moyes, it's not fashionable to write about him or praise him. Because he's not one of the hipster managers, but he's turned his managerial career around. You know, give me 1,000 words on Bielsa. Wonderful again, lost at Crawley and lost at home to Brighton. But he's marvellous. The greatest coach that ever walked the planet. Somebody will give you 1,000 words on that.
Oh, good. I don't know why they give me it. I don't want hints.
Hipster journalists.
I don't want hints.
And at the end of it, it'll say times G. Means lost again, times G.
XG. It's not times G. Frank, how do players react when their club signs a new player to replace them? How did you react?
How did I react of what? What?
Sorry, when their club signs a new player.
Well, I guess if he doesn't play in your position, you're okay with it. But if you are going into competition, you're not that happy, you know. Well, you know, I was happy when Marcel Desailly signed because I knew that I would be playing alongside him. But I guess the player who was playing alongside me the year before was quite unhappy because he knew that his future will be on the bench.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. But that's part of our lives, you know. When John Terry, who didn't sign for the club because he was there for a long time. When he was ready, I knew that my time was over for Chelsea because he will get my spot. So that's only fair. We're prepared about that. We're ready to fight. But if somebody's better than us, we have to accept it.
The best one I ever saw, and I'm sure, I think Frank was there, but if he'll remember it, the best one I saw, and it was a career wrecker. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, was John Spencer, who was a terrific little player and was playing just behind Mark Hughes, I think it was at the time at Chelsea, and was having a really good period.
Right.
I mean, playing some of the best football that he'd played in his career. He was a good player. And Ruud Gullit went out and signed Gianfranco Zola from Napoli.
That'll do it.
For 5.5 million to play in the same role. And I've never seen, to answer the question, the reaction I saw and we all saw, John Spencer's chin hit the floor.
Right.
And within, I mean, a few months, 3-4 months, whatever it was, he was gone to QPR.
Wow.
Because he just couldn't.
Yeah.
Well, head went. And but you can't. What do you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was the one I saw. And that's when I looked at that and went, wow, that could happen to anybody. So you bring somebody in, you're the flavour of the month 1 minute,
next a manager comes in, signs somebody, you're out.
And on top of it, Zola signed didn't sign at the beginning of the season. He signed around really at the limit, the last day of August. You know, so John started the season with us, and it was my first season as well. So he played like a month with us, and then Gianfranco
There wasn't a transfer window then, Frank, because I remember I went to Derby in December,
right,
in '99. So in '95 or whenever Zola came, he could have came in September or. I mean, I remember Paul Lambert.
Yeah, that was maybe September. You're right. That was maybe September. He signed in 96. That was maybe September or beginning of October. Oh, you're right. We were playing in Blackburn. Yeah, for against Blackburn.
Well, that's a very long story. Yeah. That's it.
Well, the Blackburn game. Here's a quick. The Blackburn game. This is the Blackburn game was when the waiter spilled the hot coffee all over Rud Hullett.
Oh, yes, I.
And John Spencer was sat at the table, right, when this really nervous young waiter came up with this quite a big pot of coffee for like 10 people. And was so nervous when he saw the Chelsea squad. I was sat at the table. He tripped on the carpet and all the coffee went over the manager. And John Spencer, who had just had this awful news about Zola, couldn't stop laughing, right? But he was really like, and Hullett was furious with all his coffee. It was brilliant. Absolutely loved it.
OK, I think that is the end of Extra Time.
Extra Time's been too long today.
Extra Time's been extra time. We spent 10 minutes on a GQ article that none of us read. ESPN FC will be back.
I care about it.
Back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to check it out.